Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Well, this morning, have you ever been in one of those situations where you got to remind yourself to breathe? Anyone? Yeah. Oh, just me. Okay, we got a few people there that are telling the truth. I'm just bugging you. Just been in one of those situations where you got to remind yourself to breathe. Maybe you're here in this past week, or maybe the past month, or maybe the past year has just, it feels like life has just been throwing thing after thing after you. You've been stressed out, you've been maybe worried, you've been frustrated, or whatever it might be. And it just feels like life maybe has you in a vice. Anybody know what a vice is? If you don't know, a vice you commonly find in a workshop. I've got one in mine, and it's great to put your kids' fingers in, and I'm just kidding. What a vice is this contraption that's got two jaws on it, and it's got this spindle as well, a threaded spindle that as you turn it, the two jaws get closer and closer so you can hold whatever it is you're working on so it doesn't move. And maybe it just feels like life has got you in a vice, and it's just turning and turning, and it's going to work on you, right? And you find yourself maybe in those situations, and you got to remind yourself, and breathe, right? You got to remind yourself to breathe. Anybody ever been there? And breathe, right? And what I want to talk this morning is about finding the peace in the middle of that, finding the peace in the storm. And before we go any further, there's two things I want to do. One, I want to share our intercessor team that was praying this morning just felt very strongly that the Lord was here to bring freedom today. So maybe you've been struggling, you're finding yourself constantly hitting that wall, or maybe you find yourself in the middle of that vice, or it's just like you're chained into whatever's going on and you can't break free. Well, the Lord is here to break you free today. The Lord is here to give you peace in the midst of the storm. And the second thing I want to do is pray, because that's always good. So, Father, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you that we could be here. I thank you, God, for your peace. And I just pray today as we talk about it, as we listen about it, or as we hear about it, as we would be able to put it into practice in our life, walking in your peace. And so, God, the many people that are here that are in the midst of a storm, Father, I pray you that they would find peace in the middle of that storm. Lord, and those of us, others maybe as well, that are walking in peace in the midst of the storm, Lord God, you would give them the courage and insight to pass on that peace to other people as well. That, Father, we wouldn't be here doing life alone, but that we would be doing it together, encouraging one another, building each other up in your precious name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. That's the point the pastor asks you, like when they're praying or whoever's speaking and everyone said amen. That's a good telltale sign to see how many of you fell asleep during the prayer. Right? You get a half of them. Oh, okay. Maybe the prayer was a little long, shorten it up next time or something. But maybe you find yourself in that vice, finding yourself in the middle of a storm, much like the disciples did, you know, in the New Testament, where there's that story where in the middle of a storm, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, and they are freaking out, and what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping. And you're like, man, I wish I could be that person sleeping in the middle of the storm. I wish I could be that person that has peace in the middle of those troubles. And I want to talk today about how or what God's peace is and how we can walk out his peace in our life, or how we can have his peace in our life, how we can live our life in peace. And before I go on, I think there's something important I want to give, because the topic of peace often comes up when you start talking about people struggling through depression or other mental illness. And I felt compelled just to maybe rant a little bit. I don't know. Is that okay? Can I rant a little bit? Maybe I can, because I'm talking and you know, unless the sound guy all of a sudden cuts off the mic, but I can talk pretty loud. I'm just kidding. But I just wanted to maybe rant a little bit and just talk about the church's narrative on people struggling with mental illness. And for years and years, the narrative has simply been this. It's been pray more, read your Bible more, go to church more, and then you'll be okay. Now, I'm not going to say that that's not part of your walk. That's not part of the solution to on the journey to health with mental illness. But my goodness, can we stop that narrative already? That just pray more, read your Bible more, go to church more, and you'll be okay. It's just a narrative that needs to stop. And now I understand it's rooted in some good intentions, but unfortunately, it really just comes out as a cliche and often doesn't help people who are struggling with mental illness. I liken it to someone walking in here with a broken leg on crutches, and we're like, hey, you know what? If you just prayed more, if you just went to church more, read your Bible more, you should be walking around on that broken leg. We'll just cut off that cast. I mean, you're just not praying enough, reading your Bible enough, going to church enough. That's why you're walking around with a broken leg today. Let's just hack that cast off and away we go, right? That'd be kind of dumb, if I can be so boldly honest. I really think that's kind of how it's been perceived, the narrative. Now, I also do want to say, I believe in the last, especially the last 5 years or so, the church, and when I say the church, I don't necessarily just mean Bethel, I mean the church at large, stereotypically has gotten better at the narrative of dealing with people with mental illness. We still have a ways to go, but I think it's really important, especially when we're talking about the topic of peace, because as you're struggling with mental illness, this is a huge part where you are just struggling with peace. And sometimes you just, unfortunately, it's a bigger part of your life, of how to walk in peace, how to live in peace on the inside. And I mean, because when you're dealing with mental illness, a lot of times it can be something actually physical where you have a chemical imbalance in the brain, similar to like you broke your leg. We wouldn't tell, hey, like I said, just pray a little more, right? Now, that is definitely part of the journey to health. Someone who has come here with a broken leg or someone who's struggling with mental illness, we will absolutely pray for you. I love praying. Oh, we've got an amazing bunch of people here. We love to pray to see God breakthrough and healing in people's lives, whether it's something that you can see on the surface like a broken leg or something internally like struggling with mental illness. We absolutely believe that God heals. Absolutely. And we'll pray for healing. Absolutely. 110% of the time. And you know what? When we see healing not manifest instantly, we continue to pray. We continue to believe, but we don't tell you, hey, you should have just prayed more, read your Bible more, and gone to church more, and then you would be healed. All right? And so I just felt to give that little rant, a little bit of tidbit in there, because I can, because I got the mic. I'm just kidding. Sort of is true. But I just want to welcome you here. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you so much for being here. And for those listening to the podcast, thank you so much for listening. I'm saying that in service. We'll probably put it up, I hope. We'll see. I might ask you to cut some parts out if I sound dumb or something like that, or repeat what I said in the video announcements. Whoever edited those? That was me. But I think it's important for us to understand what peace is, in order for us to walk in it, right? We got to understand what it is. And in John 14:27, there's this beautiful passage. I spoke on this last week. I had the honor and privilege. They invited me out to the Teen Challenge Chapel, and I talked a bit about peace, and it was just awesome. I loved it. It was a great group to hang out with, amazing group to hang out with. And so I shared a little bit on this, and I just continue to keep them in your prayers. It's just an amazing organization. And so in John chapter 14, verses 27, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and this is right before he prays for them and prays for all of us, prays for the world. This is right before he's about to go to the cross, and he knows what's going to happen. He knows what's in front of him. And so he says this to them. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Now, there's a few things I want to break out of this. Number one, it's his peace. It's Jesus' peace. In other parts of Scripture, he's referred to as the Prince of Peace. Jesus himself is peace. He is our example of what it looks like to live and walk a life in peace. And like I referred to earlier, the story of Jesus and the disciples in the boat, and they're on the Sea of Galilee, they were about to get to the other side. And the other thing to preface this story is that the disciples were lifelong fishermen. So they've been on the sea, not all of them, but the majority of them have been lifelong fishermen. So they've been out on the sea, good days, bad days. So they are experienced fishermen, and they're out there in the middle of this storm, and they're afraid. So that's got to tell you that this has got to be a bad storm. But where's Jesus? Sleeping, of course. That's what you do in the middle of a storm, right? You're just sleeping. That's the perfect example of what it means to live a life with peace. It doesn't mean that the storms are gone. It means that you're able to sleep through the storm. And Jesus is that goal. Now, I don't know about you. I know many of you are probably pretty close to the Jesus level, but I'm not quite there yet. I'm working on it. right? And so when storms come my way, I do find myself reacting like the disciples do. I do find myself going, Jesus, don't you care? Right? The disciples are like, Jesus, you don't care if we die? And Jesus, of course, you know, gives them a quick little correction, like, come on, guys. That's the Charles paraphrase version, just so you know. Come on, guys. I'm pretty sure that's how Jesus sounds. And he's, come on, guys. Like, and then he gets up and he speaks to the storm and tells it to stop, right? He said, peace, be still. He tells it to be still. He speaks about peace. He himself is peace, and he's a great example of walking a life in peace. I mean, another story is my favorite is the part where he, again, Jesus is correcting the crowd. He does this a lot. He always does it in love. That's a little tidbit for free for those of you that like to correct other people. Jesus always did it in love. Okay, there's a difference between correcting someone and going after them, and there's a difference in doing it in love, right? Anyone? Okay, that had nothing to do with what I was talking about. But anyways, here he is doing this thing. They got all upset, and they're about to take him and throw him off a cliff. That seems like a perfectly normal reaction to being corrected. You know, Jesus had a way of upsetting people. And it wasn't like he was intentionally upsetting them. That wasn't his goal. If you got upset by something Jesus said, as because you were holding on to something that you needed to let go. And so Jesus corrected them, and their first reaction is, let's go throw him off a cliff. And it says they took him to the edge of the cliff, and Jesus turned around, and he walked through the crowd. That'd be awesome to see. Has anyone ever thought, like, did he, like, walk, like, physically through them, or did they just part ways, like a Red Sea type thing? I don't know. I just get distracted when I read that story, and I start thinking, like, what did that look like? But really, the point of that is that Jesus wasn't worried. He wasn't fearful. He wasn't concerned about the whole situation because he knew who God was. You see, Jesus came when he was here on this earth. His life was an example to us, and he lived that life fully human. Now, he was both fully human and fully God, but it's kind of like he took that God part and put it on a shelf in a sense. He was still fully God, but he lived that life fully human so that he'd be an example for us, and I think his example for walking in peace is just absolutely amazing. In the midst of someone trying to kill him, he's walking through a crowd. In the midst of him being on the cross, dying a horrible, horrible death, what is his response? Jesus, or God, forgive them, right? And in the midst of that, he's looking at John and his mom, and he's like, hey, John, this is, again, Charles' paraphrase version, could you take care of my mom? He was always thinking of others, and that's going to come important later on how you walk out peace. But Jesus is a perfect example of living a life in peace. And that peace, I think it's important, maybe it's not important, it's just neat. When you look at that word peace in the Bible, it's the word shalom, right? Have you ever heard someone greeting someone with shalom, peace be with you? Well, much like in our English language, there's certain words that on the surface, they look, oh, that's a pretty good word. But as you dig deep into what they really mean, or maybe the depth of their meaning, you discover something else. And so if you were to break apart that word shalom, it would say something along these lines. It would say something along the lines of the spirit actively destroying the authority that is creating chaos in your life. So that word peace is the spirit actively destroying the authority that is creating chaos in your life. So you see, peace is anything but passive. Often we think of peace as being the lack of storm or the lack of conflict. How many of you have siblings? Yeah, you know what conflict is, right? I have an older brother. I have a younger sister. I know what conflict is, right? Me and my brother, the conflict looked a lot different than me and my sister. But there was conflict. But yet at times, somehow, by some miracle, there were moments while we were driving that there was peace because there was a lack of conflict, right? Somehow we stayed on our line, right? You know that line? Don't cross the line, right? Anybody? Don't you cross that line. You're on my line. Bob, Mom, Bob's across my line. You know, it's my older brother. Cross my line. Usually it was me. To be honest, I was the instigator. I'm a middle child. That's what I do. I mean, I was a perfect kid. Ask my mom, she'll tell you. And so peace is not just the act of, is not just conflict gone or missing conflict. Peace is the spirit, which we know to be God, or the Holy Spirit, actively destroying the authority being the devil, who's creating chaos in our life. Peace is anything but passive. So that is that peace that we are to walk out in our life. And in John, or not John, we just covered John. In Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, I feel is a good springboard to get into what I feel are three building blocks to walking peace out in your life, to working peace out. Because the thing is, peace is a gift. Just like we read earlier, Jesus said, "My peace I give to you," right? And everything that he gave the disciples, he's also giving to us. And just like he sent his disciples out, he said, "Freely you have received, now freely give." So anything he taught them, gave them, just like he said in the Great Commission, right before he left to go back to heaven, he told the disciples, "Go and basically teach them everything I taught you." And so anything Jesus gives to them, it's also for us. And so as he's giving, saying, "Peace I give with you, I give to you, my peace I give to you, do not let your hearts be troubled," "I don't give as the world gives, don't let your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid," that same peace is for us. In Philippians 4, 6 to 7, it says this, and I think it's a really great springboard into how to walk peace out, because that peace is a gift, but as you know, we have to walk it out in our life. It's not like, okay, we receive it, and now our life is absolutely at peace. Or is that anyone here? Someone, I want to find that person and ask them how, right? And so it says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your gifts to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." How many of you want that peace guarding your hearts and our minds, right? Absolutely. And it's ours to walk out. But I think the three building blocks to walking peace out in our life, to see peace at work in our life, three of the building blocks, I'm not saying they're the only three, but I'm thinking three of them are communication, community, and care. I want to break those out a little bit. The first one being communication. It says here to bring everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, right? Bring them to God. We have to bring it to God. That's the first thing, is we got to bring it to God. If you're going through a struggle, if you're going through something, is bringing it to God. And in there it says by prayer and petition. Now petition, it doesn't mean we got to sign something, right? He's not talking about that kind of petition. Basically what the writer is saying, what Paul is saying is, listen, you got to continually bring it to God. You know what? It's kind of like if I'm having a struggle in my life and I come over, let's just pretend God's over here and I'm over, well, God's here. He's everywhere, right? Yeah, I know. That was a bad joke. And so let's bring it over to here. Should have left all the jokes to Matt Falk, right? He was good. How many here were here on Friday? That was just awesome. That was a great night. If you missed it, you missed a good night. We had Matt Falk for a Brazil 2020 missions team. We had about 110 seats that were all filled. They made some money close around the $2,500 range to go towards the missions trip to Brazil. I'm really excited about the work they're going to do over there at Quest Adventure Camp and stuff like that. As you can see, I'm a little ADD. So anyways, that was a great night. Matt Falk is amazing. So if you missed it, though, you can go see mattfalkcomedy.com. It's great. Anyways, or follow me on Instagram, Facebook. I'm like, I should get paid for some PR for him on that one. We'll see. Anyways, he made a lot of Mennonite jokes on Mennonite background, and so it was just amazing. And so, okay, back to God over here. We'll leave the jokes to him, and I'll get back to God over here. And I've got this thing that I'm struggling with. I'm just hitting this wall, and I come over here, and I bring it to God, and I'm like, God, this is what I'm dealing with, and I lay it at his feet. And then sometimes you find, like, maybe you sort of laid it at his feet. Anyone ever find that? Or you're like, I sort of laid at his feet, right? I gave it up. And then I'm like, well, maybe I just want to deal with a little bit of that. And then we find ourselves hitting that wall again. Or maybe you fully thought you had laid it all at his feet. And then you're over here and you're still hitting that wall one thing after another. Well, that's what it means by bringing everything to God by prayer and petition. That petition part just briefly is just giving it back to God. It's like, I'm still struggling with it over here. I should have made the examples closer together so I didn't have to run so much. All right. I'm just going to bring it back to God. I'm still struggling with it, so that means I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring it back to God, right? I'm still struggling. Okay, well, I got to come back to God. It's not always just a one prayer deal. I love the one prayer deals, right? It's like, hey, God, I'm dealing with this. I give it to you, and it's done. I've had that happen so many times in my life. It's amazing.
I've also had many times happen in my life where I'm like, God, I gave it to you. I thought I gave it to you, but I'm still hitting that wall. Like, what's going on? And so I have to realize I got to go back to him. Got to communicate with him. I got to bring it to him with prayer. And also, it says in there, with thanksgiving. Be thankful. In order to walk out peace in your life, be thankful. Being thankful is amazing. It's like a reset button on your focus. If you find yourself so focused on the problem, on the issue, and it's like it's consuming you, you feel like that person in the vice, and it's just life is just turning and turning that vice, and you're feeling compressed, be thankful. I know it can be hard, but it's amazing what kind of a reset button it is on your focus. Start being thankful. God, just find something. God, I'm thankful that I'm alive. God, I am thankful for Starbucks. Or in my case, McDonald's coffee. Anyways, I am thankful for Tim Hortons. I am thankful for this donut. Okay, you know, whatever it might be, find something to be thankful for. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful finding something to be thankful for. I know it's hard, especially when you're in the midst of it, but I strongly encourage just try and find something to be thankful for. It's amazing what kind of a reset button it can be on your focus. It helps, actually just helps get your focus off the continual problem and focusing on him, focusing on other things. Being thankful. But that communication thing, that praying, is not as complicated as we make it out to be. I think sometimes we make it a little more complicated than it needs to be. How many of here have ever been in the Psalms and you read some of David's prayers? I think his prayers are the best. They're real, right? You know, again, sorry, this is the Charles paraphrase version, but it's kind of like, God, where are you? Like, come on, everyone's like trying to kill me. I mean, he does say that in there a number of times. Everyone's trying to kill me. The wicked are succeeding, you know, he says oftentimes, and like, what's going on? God, where are you? You've left me. Now, we know that God never leaves us nor forsakes us, right? We know he's always around. He's always working for the best of us, just like we sang in that song. Even though it doesn't feel like it, I know you're working. That is who our God is, right? But be like David. It doesn't have to be some complex or 10-hour-long prayer, or saying all the right words. Prayer is simply just talking to God. I mean, when Jesus was teaching on prayer, he told the disciples, hey, don't pray like the hypocrites or like the pagans. The pagans would be the people, they had a religion where they believed certain as God. Like, let's say the Romans, you know, they had all their gods, right? And they believed that if they said all, you know, said a whole bunch of words and did all the right things, whatever it might be, some of the stuff was really weird, some of the stuff was really nasty, that somehow they would twist their God's arm to help them. And don't be like the hypocrites. And Jesus was talking about the religious leaders in the Jewish tradition that would sit there or stand there and they would make sure they had really long, eloquent prayers so that everyone could see how good they could pray. See, one of them was thinking that somehow it's what I say is going to twist God's arm, and the other one is thinking like, well, I want to make sure that I look good. I mean, look at me. Look how good I can pray. Right? Some of the best prayers are just, God, help. God, I'm feeling crummy. I'm feeling real bad. Whatever you feel comfortable with and whatever is the best and most comfortable way to pray to God, talk to God, do that. It's not about these big, eloquent prayers. Just talk to him. Bring it to him. God, I'm having a horrible day. Just horrible. Like, come on, he already knows. Why are you trying to hide stuff from him? Well, I don't want to talk to God about that part, right? Because I hate Sally over there. Because Sally, man, she'd be annoying, right? Well, God, you know what? I'm struggling. Okay, well, with what? I hope there's no one named Sally here. I'm not talking about you. I don't know anyone named Sally. But I'm struggling, God. Be real with God. Talk to him. Be thankful. It's like a reset on your focus. Just talking to God real is just amazing what it can do, right? The next one is community. So you've got communication. Be in constant communication with God. Have community. We need each other. I mean, God wasn't stressed when he created the Garden of Eden. He wasn't worried about what color to make the trees, right? And then he made Adam, That really had nothing to do with what I was pointing out. I just think it's kind of cool. He made Adam, then he looked at Adam, and he goes, huh, that's not good for him to be alone. So he made Eve, and Adam was happy, right? It was great. They had community, and it continues to grow. And as you see all throughout Scripture, God never asks anyone to go it alone. He says, do it in community. Do it together. You look at the example of Jesus. I mean, he came here. He could have done everything alone. He could have spread the message everywhere. If you think about it, I mean, he's fully human, fully God. He could have done it all himself. But he knew that he needed to be an example to us of how we are to live this life. And one of those things, like I'm talking about this morning, is have those moments where we can go and breathe, walk in peace. He needed to show us what it means to have community. See, in Hebrews 10, it says this. This is verse 24 to 25. It says, and let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need community. We need people that we can encourage one another with, or to find your tribe is another way of saying that group of people that is there with you through thick or thin, no matter what, loving on you, encouraging you, holding you accountable, and just being there with you, right? You need that community. God said in his word, don't neglect meeting together. That's part of why we have church. Part is church. Why we get together is because God said so. Don't neglect meeting together. There's many other things to break out why we meet together as church, but one of those things is so that we can look around and encourage one another. We can also bring friends out and have them encouraged. Church should be the most encouraging place, right? It should be. Find those people that are encouraging you. Maybe you've got a few people that you're hanging around with that aren't the encouraging type. Can I be so bold as to say, ditch them? Anybody have the person? Now, work that one out, okay? We'll just leave that one there. But find those people that will encourage you, that will speak into your life, that will lift you up, that will spur you on towards love and good deeds, right? We need that tribe. We need that community. We're not meant to do this alone. And this is part of the reasons why we start up Connect Groups last year. And that's just a nice little segue into Connect Groups are starting up this week. All right? And I honestly believe if you are not part of a Connect Group, you need to be part of a Connect Group. Especially if you're looking for your tribe, you're looking for your people that are going to encourage you, that are going to lift you up, that are going to be there with you through thick or thin. Connect Groups are great. Maybe you sat on this paper or you see one beside you. That's just a listing of all our different Connect Group leaders. All right. That second group, that's a pretty nice looking couple. That's me and my wife. She's looking a lot better than I am. Always does. She's a beautiful lady. Yeah, there we go. See? Brownie points. But, oh man, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm just kidding. Connect groups are incredibly important. Getting together with people that are there to encourage you, to lift you up, to pray with you, just to be there with you. I can tell you right now, I remember I was going through one of the darkest seasons in my teenage life, and I'll come back. It was a turning point. It was an absolute turning point in my life. And this guy by the name of Jason Shepherd, actually, runs an orphanage over in Africa right now. But this was back up in Thompson, and he came, and he said, hey, Charles, let's go out. Let's go out hunting. I've told this story many times. I was at a turning point in my life. I was pretty sure that I was done with this whole God thing. I was done with this whole life, it'll be great thing. And I was just like, I'm just going to walk away from it all and live my life however I want to live or do whatever I want to do because that's probably better than the alternative of what I was going through at the time. And there being with him, he did not once, okay, Charles, you got to pray more, you got to read your Bible more, you got to come to church more. He was a youth group leader. You got to come to youth more. He never said any of those things. He was just there with me. I don't even remember what we talked about other than at some point he got me to open up and I just shared everything I was going through. And you know what? The whole time, he just genuinely listened. It was amazing. It was a turning point in my life. And that was the moment after I was like, okay, God, I'm all in. It is, you would be absolutely probably amazed most of the time what impacts people's lives the most powerful. Just going hunting. That was it. About 4 hours, we went out hunting. And that was a turning point in my life. All it takes is a little bit of your time. So I encourage you, sign up for a Connect group. Our Connect group leaders, they're all going to be at the table in the main foyer before you leave. If you aren't signed up or if you have questions, please go see them. Or you can also sign up by filling out a Connect card that's in your seat. Normally we put those in the offering plate, but maybe you want to sign up now. Please go and put them in the slot in the front of the information kiosk if you haven't signed up for a Connect group. Or you can also go online to bethelbrandon.ca if you just want to learn some more about them. I won't be offended if you do it right now. Pull your phone out. You're like, I want to know more about Connect groups. I honestly think they are more important than listening to me for the next 10 minutes or so. All right, so go to bethelbrandon.ca. Well, maybe more important. Go to bethelbrandon.ca and on there, go to Connect Groups. It'll give you a brief synopsis, what they're all about, what the heart is by them. And then there's a little button that says find out more or sign up. Click on one of those and it'll bring you to a page showing all the different groups and all the different studies at what times they're meeting. There's some great information on there as well. And sign up for one. Our Connect Groups are so important. I led one the last semester. I'm leading one this one as well. Ours is they're meeting all throughout the week in different places around the city. So sign up for one. Please, please do. It is an amazing way to find your tribe, find your community, those people that will encourage you, spur you on, be there through thick or thin. Right? All right. So you need your community. But then you also need to care. And what I mean by caring is that you need to love your neighbor as yourself, right? When they were asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, right? It's the best starting point. Then you also need to care. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, loving your neighbor and loving yourself is interconnected. A huge thing that's popular nowadays is really important, really good, is the idea of self-care. It's growing in popularity. It's absolutely important, especially with people who are struggling with mental illness, or maybe you are have a person with a strong gift of helps, is that you need to remember to take care of yourself, right? But here's a part sometimes that isn't included in that narrative, is that you also need to care for others. Now, let me clarify that. Is if you're spending so much time caring for others that you're forgetting to take care of yourself, like you got to be healthy as well, right? It's kind of like in the airplane when they tell the parent, you know, put on your mask first and then put on your child's mask or someone beside you. Well, because you're not going to be any good for them if you're passed out, right? And so you need to also care for yourself. I get that. But if you forget the caring for others, you will honestly never feel fulfilled. Because we are designed and made to be in community. We are designed and made to care for one another. We are designed and made to feel purpose and helping others. And there is always someone that you can help. And so if you want to walk out peace in your life, that peace will come from feeling fulfilled and feeling like you're living for purpose. And you will find that in caring for others and giving to others. Just like Jesus said when he sent out the disciples, like freely I've given, you know, you've been received. Now freely give. And part of that is this peace. In Matthew 5:9, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be children of God, right? Peacemakers, you go about spreading peace, making peace in a sense. Remember, peace is anything but passive. And so as you care for others, as you're helping others, as you maybe find your tribe, finding those people in your tribe, in your group, caring for them, helping them out, praying for them, doing whatever it takes, right? It's intertwined with being okay with yourself, because that's part of who you've been made to be. That is part of your identity, is helping others. And so if you're finding yourself sometimes, like I said, you know, that focus reset button, a good one is giving thanks. Another good one is finding someone else to help. Now, at the same time, I think it's important, especially since I talked about mental illness at the beginning and then I brought it in a little bit, it's also important for you to receive help, to reach out for help. And so I think it'd be important for me to say that if you're struggling with that today, if you're finding yourself so low and you're like, I don't know what to do, please reach out. And we're going to have some time after the service here to pray as well. I want to pray for everyone. And then if you need prayer for anything this morning, but also specifically for peace, I'm going to invite you up for that. But I really strongly encourage you to reach out, for help. So to recap just kind of what I'm saying, those three building blocks to walking peace out in your life is you need community. Communication was the first one. You need to bring everything to God in prayer. And when you feel like it's not dealt with, you got to bring it back. And you feel like it's not dealt with, you got to bring it back. With prayer and petition, you got to give thanks. Remember that good reset button is giving thanks. That helps put your focus off the problem and onto something else in a sense. It's very practical in a way, but it's also very spiritual. Is take your focus off that and putting focus on something you can give thanks for that'll encourage you and build you up to be able to deal with the situation that's coming or that you're dealing with in that moment. Also, you need community. Join a connect group, okay? If you haven't joined one, join one, all right? If you are a mom, we have an amazing group that meets in the middle of the week on Wednesday mornings. They're Master's Moms. If you're a mom, now moms, I have no idea what it's like to be a mom, obviously, but I have an amazing mom in my life, and that's my wife. And you need those moments where you're like, okay, I'm 24/7 giving, right? As a mom, that's what part of being a mom is, 24/7 giving to these little creatures that just want to drain everything out. No, I'm just kidding. Is your 24/7 giving? Well, Master's Moms was designed for every mom, every week, encouraged and equipped. So come on out to Master's Moms. They meet 9 o'clock in the mornings. Come out for a coffee and a chat, if anything. And they want to lift you up. And then we've got all the amazing connect groups. If you've got youth or junior youth, we got a midweek program for them as well. As we've got the end of the week program for the senior youth. We're doing our very best. And then coming up, I thought there's another segue, another sales pitch, is our film festival. Talking about community and caring. Invite someone out to the film festival. This is a great way to bridge bringing them into a loving, caring environment. Some people might not want to set foot in a church, but if you want to come watch Aladdin, which is a pretty good movie, Lion King is good too. I like that one. Invite them out to that. And breathe. Right? If anything, if you forget everything I just said, which I'm totally okay with. Just go listen to the podcast later. It'll be up later. So just remember to breathe. Just remember to breathe. And so if I could get everyone to stand, please, if you're able to. And our worship team is going to play another song for us. I just encourage you in this moment as we're singing, whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever it is you're struggling with, to give it to God. And then after they're done, I'm going to invite everyone to come forward, and I want to pray for everyone as well if you feel comfortable doing that. It's just a place in front of here. I think it's important to make that one step of saying, yes, God, I'm going to live my walk of peace in my life. I mentioned that I was going to ask if you want to all come forward here, but I want to change that up just for the sake of time. I want to honor your time here today. But if you do want to come, feel free to come forward while I'm talking. But I do want to honor your time, and that is I just want to pray for everyone where you are. But then also after we're done that, if you want to come forward for prayer for anything in particular, especially what was talked about this morning, feel free to do that as well. We've got an amazing team that would love to pray for you. So God, I just pray right now that your peace would rest upon all of our hearts here right now, right in this moment, that God, that you would take what was talked about today, put it deep in our hearts and our minds, and remind us throughout the week, God, that we would stay in communication with you, that we would be praying, bringing it to you, that we would be thankful, Father, that we would find our tribe, and Lord, I pray you would highlight those people. Father, you would draw us to connect with those around us. Father, then that we would care for our community. That, Father, that peace that we've been given, that we would go out and distribute that with everyone we come in contact with. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at BethelBrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.